Thank you for stopping by Living Waters World Online, the place where the river of God flows. Pastors Lawrence and Kimberly Richardson invite you on a journey to change the church, challenge the colleges, and charge into the community. Following messages from this series, Haggai and Zechariah, who in the world are these? Two messengers, one message.
Four chariots were coming from between two mountains, and the mountains were mountains of bronze. With the first chariot were red horses, with the second chariot black horses, with the third chariot white horses, and with the fourth chariot dappled horses, strong steeds. Then I answered and said to the angel who talked with me, "What are these, my lord?" And the angel answered and said to me, "These are four spirits of heaven, who go out from their station before the Lord of all the earth. The one with the black horses is going to the north country. The white are going after them, and the dappled are going toward the south country." Then the strong steeds went out, eager to go, that they might walk to and fro throughout the earth. And he said, "Go, walk to and fro throughout the earth." So they walked to and fro throughout the earth. And he called to me and spoke to me, saying, "See, those who go toward the north country have given rest to my spirit in the north country."
For a few moments this morning, I want to talk about chariot, mountains, and horses. Chariots, mountains, and horses. I don't normally do this on Sunday morning, but part of this amen presentation, I'm going to give you a homework assignment because there's parts in Revelation that you're going to have to read to bring greater understanding, deeper revelation. So I'll give a homework assignment this morning, and I pray that if we come back, I'm not sure, I may pick this up next Sunday, amen, if the Lord say the same, because this is now the deep writings and the deep visions of Zechariah that has multiple meanings. It does not have just one meaning. It has multiple meanings. The only thing I'm going to cover today is the very surface meaning, that which is a plain understanding, so you can have an applicable principle. It won't be a principles today, an applicable principle that you can walk out, amen, your journey, amen, as you leave here. But for a few moments, I want to talk about chariots, mountains, and horses. Father, thank you for the word that you sowed in my heart. Amen. Guide my speech now. Speak to your people. Give them ears to hear. As John the Revelator said, give us an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying to church, God. Your voice, God, that still small voice, let us hear it, let us respond to it, and then let us live differently. We thank you. Your word is blessed, Father. Your word is rich, God. Thank you for Haggai, God, what he shared with us about the remnant building, Lord. And now thank you for what Zechariah says to us. Long period, God, and deeper, amen, and far-sighted, even to our day and the days of eschatology. We thank you. We glorify your name. And all God's people said amen and amen. Chariots, mountains, and horses. We've now entered into Prophet Zechariah's visions, the deep ones, the ones that he spoke concerning Israel and the coming Messiah. He calls him oftentimes in the text, the branch. Every time you see him talking about the branch, he's talking about the coming Messiah. It has been said that one's past and one's present religious rituals and relationships and behaviors are mostly determined by their true heart motivation. And I promise you, I'm going somewhere. It has been said that one's past and present religious rituals, relationships, and behaviors are mostly determined by one's heart motivation. In the Garden of Eden, it is a heart motivation. When these Jews are now returning from captivity, it is a heart motivation. Even to this day, in our postmodern times that we now live in, one's actions are always a clear picture of their heart's motivation. Don't be fooled by people telling you they really didn't mean that. Their actions, their motives, their behaviors is a true picture of their heart's motivation. And that's what the writer is going to get to by we get to the end of this text is God is saying, I've brought you all the way here and you still haven't had a heart transformation. I've done this and that and that and this and I'm still trying to get you to obey out of a heart and a spirit and a motivation that is out of a love relationship that we had. So I say again, our rituals, our relationships, and our behaviors are mostly determined by a heart motivation. We as a prophetic people, the word of the Lord must be what motivates our heart. One writer said, the heart is desperately wicked, and who can know it? What that's letting us know, we as the people of the Most High God, and especially those of us that are of a prophetic nature, our motivations must be out of a transformed heart that is now ruled and guided by the Word of God. Oftentimes, what our heart desire is not what God desires. What we really have determined to do is nowhere close to the will of God. It is just something that we birthed in our own heart. But we as the people of God, we're motivated by the word of the Lord. In Psalms 119, it says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way, but by taking heed according to the word. With my whole heart I have sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. The word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. He goes a little further in Psalms 119 and 105. He says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I have sworn and I will perform it that I will keep thy righteous judgment. Psalms 119 and 133, it says, order my steps in thy word. It is so important for us as the people of Most High God to make sure of what's coming out of our heart is what has been is where our heart has been transformed by the word of God. How has God transformed our hearts this week? What has he inspired us to do? Where has he inspired us to go? Whose life have he inspired us to touch? The truth of the matter, we move by feelings and emotions. And we've already been commanded by the word, go ye into every man's world and preach the gospel. Too often, and he's getting to this in the text, and he really, really drove it home in the book of Haggai, that you confess me with your mouth, but your heart is far from me. The only way we're going to be properly moved when we follow our heart, if our heart has had a transformation. Do me a favor, ask your neighbor, say, neighbor, has your heart been transformed? Sidebar, you don't have to say this, sidebar, too often it is conformed, not transformed. It is conformed. The things that the world want, now the people of the Most High God want. We see somebody have it, and now we have to have it. That's conform. But a transformed heart says, not my will, O Lord, but thy will. Would you like me to be married or single this year, Lord? And I'm talking to single people. That's not a question for the married folks. I'm talking to single folks. Because hear me, if you're not careful, you will get married and you ain't ready. And you have to ask the Lord, Lord, am I ready for marriage? But it doesn't stop with just marriage. You have to ask the Lord, Lord, is this my job for me? Is this where I'm supposed to work? Is this where I'm supposed to live? And you should not move until you hear the Lord speak. And he speaks in comparison to his word, not by our preferences and our choices and our pleasures. I've shared with you many, 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 many years ago, it has to be Bible. It has to be book. It has to be verse. What verse would you say the Lord spoke to you for you to take your last job? You don't have to answer. What verse did the Lord speak to you about praying this week? What verse did the Lord speak to you about speaking to your enemy this week? Y'all ain't saying nothing now. Y'all looking at me in a real strange tone now. We are, I told you last Sunday, grace is not going to cover us in some things that we think grace is going to cover us in. And grace never has been a covering for disobedience. We as the people of the Most High God, and I'm going to get to the text, I promise you, God was trying to get them to get their heart motivated to move by what his word has declared. I ask you again, and you might need to take that home with you. What word from the Lord, and I need Bible book and verse, have motivated your heart this week? Because if we're not careful, we will be dealing with conformity and not transformation. God wants a people that when their enemy spite them on one way, they respond in love in another way. God wants a people that says, willfully I do your will, O Lord, and your commandments are not grievous to me. God's looking for a people. Now, whether it's easy or hard, what you want me to do, Lord? If we're not careful, everything we're doing is coming from a heart that has not been transformed. And because we don't understand enough Bible, we'll think we're okay. And I don't know about you, I've been coming too long to find at the end of the journey that I'm not okay. I could have been doing something else. And the church should have said amen. I want to find out right here and right now that I'm not okay. And if we're being motivated by our heart and not the word, then we need transformation. A young man is cleansed, Psalms 119 and 9 through 11, by the word. Psalms 19, 119 and 105, the word becomes a lamp unto our feet. And then Psalms 119 and 133, he orders our steps by his word. Do me a favor, put your hands up if you don't mind. Say, Lord, this week, order my steps by your word. And the church should say amen. In this moment, the word of the Lord must precede any and everything that we do. In this moment, the word of the Lord must precede any and everything we do. And not only must we master it, Jordan, we now have to start teaching this to our children. My greatest concern of a pastor in 2018 is that we are rearing our children to be atheists. My greatest concern, and you guys hear me say this loud, I'm so fearful that we're going to train our children to be atheists. And I need to go down that road because I got your attention now. When we don't bring our children to church and teach them to sit down in church and listen, we're training them to be atheists. When we tell children sports is more important than church, we're training our children to be atheists. When our children never see us open the Bible, and y'all are looking at me in that tone now, we're training our children to be atheists. I believe one of the only reasons I'm standing here, one of, not the only, but one of, is because my mommy and daddy made this important. My granddaddy and grandmother, y'all don't know nothing about this, but they had a big old family Bible. And you better watch how you touch it. You better watch how you mess with it. And you better pick it up and read it sometime. Now, I think my parents went to the extreme because my normal week was Wednesday Bible study, Friday night evangelistic service, Saturday morning cleaning the church, Saturday afternoon choir rehearsal, Saturday night tarrying service, Sunday morning joy service, I'm sorry, Bible study at 9 o'clock. We ain't finished. 11 o'clock morning worship, 3 o'clock Sunday afternoon, evening service, and then we got to come back for Sunday night revival. Don't let the Holy Ghost or a ghost touch my daddy. Because on Sunday morning, he announced, next week we're going into revivals. Man, you said that 2 weeks ago. But I look back now and I say, thank you, Jesus. Because it taught me the importance of reading the Bible. It taught me the importance of being around the people of God. It taught me the importance of prioritizing my life and not allowing life to prioritize my movements. If we're not careful, and I want to say this loud, and I know people don't like me to say this, we've allowed the very gods of this world to now dictate what we do and what our children do. And we don't see we going down that road. I text my little, I call him my godson a lot of times, but Chris really not my godson. He called me Uncle Lawrence. I text him yesterday. I said, now, when you talk to your supervisors, you tell them Tuesdays and Sundays you can't work. So you can get in Bible study. I need you present a little more. Didn't Chris? Y'all can ask Chris. I text him. Because if we're not careful, they'll be working, and now we don't see them. And then when they get down the road, we're going to wonder, how did they get way down the road? And I'm telling y'all how they get way down the road, because we didn't bring them to Bible study. Okay, we don't pray at home. We don't read at home. Then we don't bring them to church to pray and bring them to Bible study to pray. And then we wonder when they get way down there, how they got down there. And I want to tell you how they got down there, but you don't want to hear what I'm going to say. He says in one portion of scripture, I told y'all I wasn't going to be long, but then my motor started turning, but I still feel the same way. I'm not going to be long. The Bible says, as for the old landmarks, and they said, we would not, and I'm paraphrasing. If the foundations be destroyed, where shall the righteous go? There are some ancient landmarks, like reading the word, being guided by the word, that we got to call a culture back to if we're going to live the victorious and the prosperous life. And in the text, he's trying to let Israel know, you still have not gotten your heart right. So he begins to see a vision about chariots, and he begins to see a vision about horses, and he begins to see a visions about mountains. What does this all this mean? I'm going to just talk a little bit about the chariots. I'm going to talk a little bit about the mountains, and I'm going to talk a little bit about the horses. I say again, this is a very deep vision. I'm going to only give you the surface today. When he begins to talk about the chariots, he's talking about that which carries another. He's talking about organized bodies of people. He's talking about governments. He's talking about movements in dimensions of time. He's talking about that which carries another. Organized bodies, governments. All right? He's talking about movement. He said, I saw these chariots. All right. It was that which carries another, that which is organizes people, that which is governments, that which is moving. He said, I saw these. And then I'm going to get to it in a minute. He says, I saw the chariots attached to the horses. I'll get to that in one moment. And then that's where I'll finish. All right. He said, I saw that which carries another, that which was organized in body, that which a government, I saw it attached to something. All right. What were the two mountains? The two mountains, if you go to Zechariah 8 and 3, and if you go to Isaiah 2, the two mountains, when you see God talking about mountains, it's normally about the place where God dwells, or it's talking about the Lord's house. All right. Many theologians say here he's talking about the church in the wilderness, and he's talking about the church in the New Testament. All right. So he saw chariots, and then he saw two mountains. He saw two dispensations of the church. Ah, God, I forgot to tell you. When you get a chance, go back and read in the ending of chapter number 5, he talks about two women. All right. He talks about one woman, and then he talks about two women. Well, whenever you think about women mentioned in the Bible or pictured in the Bible, it is normally about the church, the bride of Christ. But this church or this gathering of people, he says this is wickedness. And then he says they go into Shinar. And I promise you, I'm going to come back and talk about this, all right? He says, this wickedness goes into Shinar. Ah, could this be, amen, because if you study out Shinar, you're going to find out some things about the false religion that's going to become part of the one world order. So there is going to be a church that goes down into Shinar, but the Bible says it is wickedness. When you get a chance, read Revelation chapter number 6 and Revelation chapter number 12. Because in Revelation chapter number 12, we see the true church described as going into the wilderness. It does not go into Shinar. The true church does not go into Shinar. It goes into the wilderness. I promise you, I'm going to come back and I'm going to talk about it. So there are chariots, all right? That which carries another. There are organized bodies. There are governments, there are movements, and then there are mountains. Church in the wilderness, New Testament church, all right? It says they are brass. Brass mentions it's something to be everlasting. They don't just go away. And then he says the horses was attached to the chariots. The horses are that which has power to move something or someone. That which holds people to be carried can't move by itself. Organized body of people can't be moved by itself. Governments can't be moved. So it is attached to that which has power to move, the horses, the ability to affect, that which influence another movement. That's where we get the picture of something having horsepower. So these chariots being attached to the horses, the Bible says that they go into all the earth. All right? They have the ability to affect all of the earth. And this is where I come to, and this is where I will conclude. That which we see in this vision is about what has the ability to influence us, to carry us, take us somewhere. One theologian said this chapter 6, when you get the attaching of two different type of horses, you have the great paradox of the ages. Because not only do you have two sets of horses, but if you read the text carefully, two sets of horses are trying to take the chariot in two different directions. What is it that has the ability to affect us, has the ability to move us, has the ability to influence us? What causes us to go south, if you read the text carefully, where we supposed to be going to the north? Because when I was carried to the north, my spirit was quieted. That's the text. What has the ability? Come across your television screen. I want to bring it to where you can understand it. And now the next week, your whole house is in another vein. What can your supervisor say at work? And hold on, you can get rid of the doxology. I told y'all I'm just giving you surface today, and I'll come back and talk about more, because it gets into four governments that would come into the earth, and I don't have time to talk about that today. But what has the ability? What do your supervisor have the ability to say? And now you're totally confused. What has the ability to come cross? Here's the big one now, Dante, Deacon Dante. What has the ability to be posted on Facebook and now you're angry? And some of us are angry out of our mind. You mean to tell me you that mad because somebody posted something on Facebook that you don't even know if that's the real person that they say they are? These chariots attached to horses had the ability to go throughout the earth and influence people. He's going to tell us in the text that the word should be the thing that is influencing us. He's going to tell us in the word, you ought to be following the branch. He said in Zechariah 6 and 15, He says, and they that are afar off shall come, and they build the temple of the Lord, and they shall know that the Lord of hosts has sent me unto you. And it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God. This is the message of 6. And it's deeper, but this is the plain message. Do you know how to discern when there's two horses pulling you? Do you know how to discern? Because when you get to, the fourth chariot, it's got two horses pulling them in different directions. I wish I had a little bit more time because I could really dig this out. Some of us, we have stuff pulling us and we don't even realize it's trying to pull us in some strange directions. And you got to back up and say, who am I? What am I supposed to be doing? When I started on this journey, where was I intended to go? Have I arrived yet? If I haven't arrived yet, then I need to be careful what's trying to pull me out of the will of God. That last chariot has got two horses, two different kind of horses, and it's trying to pull them in some different directions. You know, I'm going to bring it a little bit more plainer. You know how Monday morning, how you feel? I really don't feel like going to work. I wish y'all was a little bit more honest. You know, on Monday morning, I really don't feel like going. I'm going to come on down to y'all age. I really don't feel like going to school. Why am I going to school anyway? I want to help y'all. That's a horse trying to pull you in a different direction. I don't know if what my mom and daddy's telling me. I don't know if what my pastor's telling me is true or not. If you're not careful, that's a horse pulling you in a different direction.
We hope you've enjoyed this message from Living Waters World Online. If you were blessed by this message or know someone who will be blessed by this message, please click the link below for more information on how to receive the full-length copy. We hope you are encouraged, and please remember, this is the place where the river of God flows.